Thanks for taking the time to download and listen to our podcast from CelticUnderground.net. Today was the official unveiling and press conference of the appointment of Ange Postecoglou, and we have the audio for you coming up. I thought today was really interesting that the two things that have come through all the time that Don Mackay has been speaking in the last month or so has been modernisation and communication. Those are the big things he wants to work on. And it's quite clear he's an enthusiastic guy, but the communication changes have already started. Today, with the unveiling of Ange, we had three separate press conferences. We had the live broadcast stream, which I understand was picked up from more media actually than the Brendan Rodgers one, because of obviously Japan and Australia. So Celtic apparently were inundated with people asking for the stream of that, so that's very positive in terms of building the brand, because that puts more money on the park for the team. Then there was the fan media, which I was very fortunate enough to be there at. Everybody who was from a football fans, a Celtic fans podcast, was allowed to ask a question of Dom and a question of Ange each. And then there was the written press. And so I find it very interesting, the communication bit, and Dom, on a couple of times I've heard him, and today talks a lot about transforming the coverage and interaction with the media in general, but particularly fan media. I think he sees us as being quite a bit behind where other sports across the world are. Also, incredibly heartening if you are like me and you're a Celtic fan and that is your thing and you just want the best team on the pitch, and therefore the maximum number of fellow supporters with you at a game, if we can get to a game, is a bonus. Today I was told that we have sold in excess of 45,000 season books. When you consider that last season was watched on a computer screen and we've had no guarantees of getting back in the ground next season, that is absolutely incredible. Apparently we always have at the end of renewals, we always have about 5,000 people who don't renew their season books. For whatever reason, people's circumstances change, people pop their clogs, unfortunately, etc. So we've got about 8,000 who didn't renew. Based on everything, that's amazing. Our waiting list is about 18,000 to 20,000, of whom I understand about 3,000 to 5,000 have joined since the end of the season. So there's always going to be some on the waiting list who no longer want, but those 3,000 to 5,000 obviously must be, because they're on it. So the expectation of the club, who budgeted for 35,000 renewals, the expectation of the club is that we will not have a general sale of season books and we will sell out. Chuck in to the mix the possibility of getting back in if the Scottish Government drops some of their conservatism and we move similar to England. We might even get into every second game very early on. All fantastic positive news. I'll let you listen to the positivity of Ange and Dom. First of all, the fans media, followed by the broadcast media press conference. This is me, Harry Brady, saying I'll speak to you at the end. Cheers, bye.
Thank you, Ian. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see you all. Very welcome, Celtic Park. And it gives me enormous pleasure to welcome Ange to Celtic Park today. We've been waiting to welcome her here for a little while, the joys of quarantine, and I could not be more thrilled. You may have heard from the feed upstairs a little bit about the process, but when we're looking to chat to Ange, looking at his background, looking at his experience, looking at the way that he sets his teams up, it was a fantastic conversation that we had together. So I couldn't be more thrilled that we've secured Ange. You're going to get to hear a lot about him, I'm sure, over the next 15, 20 minutes and in the years ahead. But I, from a personal point of view, as someone that's spent a lot of time in Australia, a lot of time in Japan, the experience that he has and the warmth of affection that he has over that part of the world is probably shining through. You're probably seeing some of that just now. And that shows you how highly regarded he is internationally. So I'll maybe hand over to Ange, and once again, welcome, Ange.
Thank you. And thanks for the warm welcome, everyone. And as I said upstairs, super excited and very humbled to be in this position. Well aware of the size, magnitude and the traditions of this football club. And my role here is to hopefully, create some more special moments and create things that last well beyond my tenure here, so that my time here is remembered and remembered in a special way. So I look forward to what's ahead, and I guess my main task is to make sure that I keep all of you very, very happy over the next period. So I'll be working hard to do that. So thank you very much.
Hi, Ange. Welcome to Celtic. You'll find that they're at the best football club in the world pretty soon. And the people you were speaking to up the stairs, they're not your friends. The people on here are your friends, and there are a lot more of us, and we'll always be with you. But please be straight with us and be honest with us at all times. And we can take defeat. We don't like being cheated, and we don't like being let down the way we have been in the last 12 months, certainly. And there's referees in this country who support one team. Compliance officer supports the team. And penalties for one team, three retrospective red cards last season. And look at these things. Don't do what Tony Mowbray did and take it on the chin. He did that, and that was an open goal that was exploited, and he didn't last very long. And so please, the Celtic supporter with you. And what you said about up the stairs about mixed, it was never mixed about you, Ange. It was never mixed about you. And right away, the Celtic support found out everything they could about you. And I've not met anybody or spoken to anyone who's not 100% behind you, and also Dom. So the very best of luck. Not really a question, but there you go.
I appreciate it. And what I will say is that I will always, always protect the interests of this football club. Always, against anybody. So I can assure you that I won't let anyone take advantage of this football club. My interests lie here, so I will protect it with everything I can.
Brilliant, thank you.
Can I ask that it's questions, because we're quite tight in time. If we just keep it quite back.
First of all, guys, once again, thank you very much for your time. Dominic, this question's first for you. Last season, fans have seen very little accountability and poor inconsistent communication with the supporters. As a CEO with a background in communications, will engagement with supporters such as this event today continue to be such a high priority after season tickets have been sold?
Hi, Erin. Thank you for your question. Hopefully today demonstrates my openness and keenness to engage, and that's going to be a cornerstone of my administration. As a Celtic supporter, I spent my whole life supporting this club and feeling connected, and I want to make sure that the connection that I enjoy growing up supporting this club continues whilst I've got the huge opportunity to lead it. So absolutely, connectivity between ourselves and the support is utterly vital. And I maybe said earlier on that one of the most important things I think that we need to try and grapple with is getting supporters back into the stadium. I've really missed it. You've really missed it, being in and amongst friends and colleagues watching the game. So I think we're making some good steps forward. The Euros have been really positive in terms of having crowds back in there. And you can see the energy that the players get from that. So that is the ultimate piece of connectivity, getting supporters back in. But in terms of making sure that we're able to keep you updated and listen to you, we'll definitely want to do that.
Absolutely, thank you. And on that note as well, on behalf of the Kano Foundation, once again, a massive thanks for the season tickets. That is a huge step towards amazing progress, so thank you. Ange, it's an absolute honour, and welcome to Scotland, first of all. It must be quite a transition in terms of the weather, but I'm sure you'll fit in quite well. My question for you is, during the week you had said that you want to entertain the fans and you want to win. But to win, that doesn't just take you, that takes a whole background team. Do you plan on appointing your background team, and if so, when?
Yeah, again, there's definitely going to be a change in the way we work and the way we train and the environment. And the people who will be in that environment would be the ones who I think can drive us in the direction I want to go. So will there be changes? There probably will be changes. That doesn't necessarily mean people will be going. We might be bringing other people in. But I'll make those decisions over the next few weeks once I get a good idea of the people that are already in place. There's some good people in the football club already. You know, the club had a lot of success for a very long time. You don't want to discard that knowledge and experience because of what happened last year. But we're certainly heading off in a new direction, and I'll find people that will help us go in that direction. So I'll make those decisions over the next few weeks. But you can be assured the people that will be working with me will be going, will be pulling in the same way that I am in terms of the kind of football we want to play and the kind of football club we want to be.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, both of you. It's an exciting time, and thank you again for your time.
Hi, Dom. Hi, Ange. Aaron Connolly from the 90 Minute Cynic, or the cynic.co. Firstly, I want to thank you both for your time today, for putting this together. I think it's great that fan media get access like this, and I think it's a really positive step. And obviously everyone in this room and everyone at the Cynic wish you both all the best. Dom, if I could just ask you a question first, if that's okay. Just want to know how you found the handover process between you and Peter. Obviously you've come in a little bit earlier to start that handover. How involved have you been in the day-to-day over the last few months? And is there any, do we expect any involvement from Peter here on in?
Great to have you here. You're very welcome. So the handover has been fantastic. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. My first day in the job started with the European Cup effectively disintegrating, if you remember that. That didn't last too long. And I said to the team, I said, does it happen like this every Monday in football? And they said, it's not quite as bad as this, but it's a bit of a roller coaster ride. But what I've found in the last 5 or 6 weeks is that we've got a brilliant team here. And they're utterly committed to bringing success back to Celtic. Everyone has enjoyed the success and been really disappointed with last season. So I've got a great team that want to go again, go hard to make sure that we have got success. So that's really important to me. Peter's been great in terms of the handover. As you would expect, he has achieved an enormous amount over his 17 years. Last year was, of course, a disappointment for everybody at the club. So the handover has been really, really positive. I fully start on the 1st of July. But it'd be fair to say, like all incoming chief executive, you want to make sure that you put your marker down relatively early. And I've been offered the opportunity to do that by the board and by Peter. So hopefully today is another small, simple expression of some of the things that we're beginning to do. But bringing Ange in was a key thing that I wanted to do. And I was given the opportunity to get actively involved with that and then lead in that process. So I couldn't be more delighted to be sitting right next to this guy just now.
Thank you. Ange, I'm thrilled to have you here. I've done a lot of research, as I'm sure all of us have. I've heard you speak a lot about your principle of play and how you set your teams up in the way that your father would have liked to watch football. And I think a lot of us resonate that with Celtic fans. I hear a lot about things like you've highlighted, possession, high tempo, energetic pressing football, entertaining football. You'll hear Celtic fans say the Celtic way a lot. I think that's what that is, and I think we're excited to see that. Last season, I feel like, personally, we always found ourselves have a lack of ideas when we came up against teams who came to stifle our attacking play, who set up in that low to mid block, made it really tough for us, particularly here at Celtic Park. I just wonder if you could give us an insight to how you would expect to set up tactically to beat teams like that.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I do appreciate it. I mean, I did say I may have got a mixed response upstairs, but I guess that's just people, and I'm not on social media, but people feeding me information about what was going on social media. So the reality of it is, since I've been here and the people who have reached out to me have been super supportive. And I've got no doubt there isn't every Celtic supporter wants me to do well and wants me to succeed. I've got no doubt about that. And I know I'll get their support. In terms of the football, it is a simple thing, but for me, it's the most important thing. So you mentioned that it's my father passed away a couple of years ago, but I try and play football he'd love to watch. You know, I'd sit by his side, you know, 5 years old, and we'd watch football from this side of the world at 3 or 4 in the morning, just me and him. And he'd always point out the entertainers. He'd always point out the entertaining team. He hated Italian football at the time because it was all defensive, and that just, you know, got into my brain. And I've tried to do everything I can since then to create special things like that. The challenges we're going to face, A, is firstly just, you know, getting our guys to believe in that. It's not an easy way of playing football because you've got to be really brave and courageous in the way you go about things, because you're not going to be fearing any opponent. You're going to be taking risks, but I've got no doubt that I can make them believe that. I've made every football team I've managed to do that. And then we inevitably come up with opposition who will try and stop us. But within that, I have full confidence that football we play and the relentlessness of what we do, once we get to a certain point, it won't matter what the opposition do. You know, we'll find our ways to overcome, because the biggest part of that is that you really believe in something. Yeah, and it's not just believing in victory, because everybody wants to win. There isn't a club, manager, player in the world who doesn't want to win. If you can believe in something stronger than that, and mine is in a certain way of playing the game, then you don't let anything stop you. Not the fact that it's the first minute, the last minute, whether you're winning, you're losing, whether the opposition is sitting back or they're pushing onto you, you believe in something greater than that. And that's where I've had my success in getting a team to play in a certain way, but also in believing in that method. So there's no doubt we'll get some challenges, but once I get the buy-in from the players, I'm confident we can overcome them.
Thank you both, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi both, nice to meet you. It's Natasha Miko from A Celtic State of Mind. Dominic, I'll come to you first. There's been widespread reports of a restructure of the footballing department as a whole at Celtic. And we know that Nick Hammond has resigned, that Peter Lawwell's leaving on the 1st of July. Are the club looking for a director of football, as has been reported, and how are those searches going?
Hi, Natasha. Thanks for the question. So my intention, I think we maybe mentioned this previously, is to make sure that we evolve and modernise the club. So what does that mean? What that means to me is looking at every single part of the club, whether that's football, whether that's business, whether that's engagement, and making sure we are benchmarked. Are we the best we possibly can be? Are we world-class in these areas, whatever area that might be? And if we're not, then let's become world-class and go on a journey towards that. And if we need to enhance and bring people in, we'll do that. So the football structure, as you mentioned, there is an area which is obviously something that I'm very interested in, and I'll look across the whole of that football structure, and I'll engage with Ange on that. One of the great joys of bringing Ange in is his great experience in Japan, great experience in Australia at club level, but also international level. So together, we'll look at that sort of football environment and we'll make the right decisions for the club going forward. There's clearly some roles to fill, but before I trigger any roles, I want to make sure I've got the right long-term structure. And I've spent a lot of time over the last number of weeks speaking to other clubs across Europe, making sure I understand their structures, what's working, whether that be in a recruitment, whether that be in academy, whether that be in the football operation structure. So we're learning, we're looking, and we'll make sure that we make the right decision. But the benefit, I'd say, of having Ange in here is I'll tap into his experience too.
Thanks, Dom. Is Ange helping you with that structure? Is that structure not yet finalised? Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, so again, I don't start until the 1st of July. A bit like Ange, people have been kind enough to give me lots of ideas and feedback. I like to think I will always listen to that, but I've got to make a decision that's right for the football club for the long term. So we've not defined anything yet. We've not finalised anything yet. And we'll do that when it's right and proper. The focus, the critical focus for us as a club right now is to bring in Ange, bed him in, make sure that football environment that he's currently in just now is working, and then we'll build things out.
Thanks, Dominic. And I'll come to you now with a question. Firstly, welcome to Celtic. It's great to have you here. And as has been touched on, we all give you our full support, and we will for the season. Obviously, you're acutely aware that Champions League qualifiers are just around the corner. And a lot of the fans' concern is that there is a lot of work to be done in such a short period of time. What's your assessment of the amount of work that needs done? And what assurances can you give the fans that we have enough time to do that so we won't be going into these Champions League qualifiers underprepared?
You know, I'm just as concerned as as everyone else. It's a great challenge for us, no doubt. You know, we've got some challenges at the moment, particularly with our squad. But we're working hard, and I kind of said upstairs the way I work is I'm not looking too far ahead. What's most important to me is that the work we do today is the best possible work, and so we can be ready against against Midtjylland in the Champions League. I know how important the game is, and I know how anxious the supporters are for us to do well. I know it's important, for the club itself to show that we're heading in a new direction, and I'm well aware of all those things, but I can't control what's going to happen in 4 weeks' time. I can control what happens today and tomorrow and for the next sort of 23-24 days, I think it is, that we've got before that game, and I'll make sure we're as ready as we possibly can be. But there's no doubt everyone in the club is well aware that we need to we do a lot of hard work to get the squad to where we want it to be, and everyone in the club is working hard towards that. What I will assure the supporters that when we come out here for that first game, they'll see a Celtic team that will already have elements of the kind of football I want to play, and more importantly, belief in something that hopefully will make us special in sort of the years to come.
Thanks, Ange. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Hi, Ange. Hi, Dom. Question for you first, Dom. Brexit's going to be a massive impact on British football. You've touched on it just there. How much are we going to be prioritising the academy in terms of CapEx expenditure in the next wee while, if that's a route we're going to have to take to bring more players through?
Thanks for the question. First question I've had is incoming chief exec on Brexit, so thank you for that. I guess my point earlier on was that we want to look at all parts of the organisation, including the academy, to make sure it's world-class and make sure it's ready for the next 10 years. So if we need to evolve that, modernise that a little bit further, we'll absolutely do that. I think one of the exciting developments is the opportunity for the B team and the Colts team to move into the Lowland League. That gives game time, that gives opportunities for players and for coaches and backroom staff to challenge themselves in a slightly different environment. So I see that as being a critical component for Celtic to keep investing in and keep developing. They've had success in the past, of course they have, but we've got to make sure we keep investing in that going forward.
Thanks. Ange, you, in your book, and as was mentioned earlier, we've all been doing the research, so you talk about the culture at Melbourne Hellas as being important in the culture of a football club. We are very proud of the culture of Celtic being formed and to put dinner on the tables, and one of the driving factors of that is the foundation. Do you see the Celtic FC Foundation as something that you would like to encourage the players to get more involved with as part of the culture of our club, which is the charitable side of it?
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest, I think for anyone who has the privilege of coming through this football club and being in any role, you miss a great opportunity to really learn and enrich your own life by understanding the origins and the culture of this football club. I'll certainly be doing that. I mean, I wrote in my book, for me, football's not just... It's not just a sport. It's well beyond the sport. For me, it's been a kind of vehicle that's steered my life. You know, all my most significant relationships have come out of football one way or another, whether it's friendships, any other relationships I've had. So I understand that this is more than just the club. So I would be encouraging players, staff, anyone who's involved in that football club to get to know and understand the rich history that exists, and because it enriches your own life. So, I'll certainly be encouraging the footballers and to get involved, and I'll certainly, as I said, be getting involved myself. Sometimes it's difficult because there's always the priorities in life in general, and to understand a player who represents his football club knows the pressures of having to win and be successful. I think it helps them if they also understand what's important to our football club. And it's not just winning. I know everyone wants to win, but I think this football club, it's more than just winning. And I think once you understand that, it relieves some of that pressure because you kind of understand what you're representing. So certainly I'll be encouraging as much as I can.
Thanks a lot and good luck.
Thank you.
It's Jason for the Homeboys here. Ange, just want to say, delighted you're here and buzzing to see you get going. Obviously, we've done our research and you come across as a kind of Marcelo Bielsa type, and I just can't wait to see it happen in the flesh. So just everybody here, 100% behind you, and as everybody said before, but the learned gentleman there said it right at the start, I echo every word. They're not your friends up there, we're your friends. So, no questions to you, mate, just buzzing to see you. I've got a kind of two-pointed question to yourself, Dom, and again, thanks for putting this on. Totally appreciate it with the fan engagement, etc. So, obviously, the past couple of years, recruitment, it's been a bit of a shambles, to be honest with you. And a couple of years ago, with 19 either return loanees, or signings coming in, and six, possibly seven, had an impact in the first team. Last year we had 14 and only one had a real impact, like David Turnbull. So have you got lessons learned from the previous regime that you're obviously going to work on? And the second part of it is Ange going to have the ultimate final say in the signings coming in, whether it's the backroom staff or whether it's the players, because I think that's what we all want. We don't want somebody working under constraints.
So look, it'd be fair to say that I've received quite a lot of reports on how things have gone over the last number of years. Recruitment's one area, which of course I've seen reports on. And I maybe said earlier on, it's really critical for this club to make sure it's world-class and make sure it looks around the world to benchmark itself. And that's what we're going to be doing, whether it's recruitment, whether it's academy, whether that's on business operations, whatever it might be, to make sure we're benchmarking ourselves against the best in class. So we want to definitely evolve that. So the lessons about the past, of course you'll learn from those, but really I want to learn the lessons of other successful and similar sized clubs across the world, and there's good examples of those, be it Seville or Brentford or whatever it might be. So we're looking at all of that just now. Your question about making sure that people with authority make the right decisions, I said to Ange when we first spoke, I said it's in my interest to make, and my interest being everyone's interest, the club's interest, to make sure he's as successful as he possibly can be, so he gets a blank canvas in terms of appointing the people that he needs around him. And that extends to making sure that we together work to get the best possible talent through the academy, the best possible talent in from overseas if that's required, or in from the UK. So that collaboration is going to be absolutely critical, but the manager's the guy that's going to be picking the team and making sure he puts his style on that pitch. So he's pivotal to everything that we do in terms of football recruitment.
Thanks very much for that. That's the answer I was looking for.
Thank you.
Hi, Ange. This is Tino from the Celtic Exchange podcast. Welcome to Glasgow. Welcome to Celtic. And we wish you all the best with everything you do here. Dom, welcome to you as well. I know you're more familiar, but welcome and best of luck. Ange, like all the guys in here, we've done a lot of research on your style, your philosophy, your thinking. And what I'd like to know, we've obviously gathered a lot of information, but is there any information or anything that's often misunderstood about you or that people often get wrong about you?
It depends. I don't know. It depends who you're listening to, I guess. I mean, the one thing I always fall back on is because, and you'll hear managers kind of talk about their philosophy and the way they want to play. I've always relied on people who watch my teams. That's where you'll get your best information, because it's easy for me to say I want my teams to score goals and I want my teams to play a certain way, but that's where, I spoke about my father, and that he was my critic. He's the only person I've ever listened to my whole life, and he was never happy. So I could win things and he'd say, no, you could play more attacking. And I don't think there's, I mean, hopefully, you guys will get to know me over the next sort of period of time in terms of the kind of person I am. But I have really strong values on not just about football, but in life in general. All those values are deeply rooted in the values my father passed on to me. We were immigrants to another land. We didn't know the language. We didn't know a soul. And yet somehow my father managed to forge a life and an opportunity for me that 55 years later I'm halfway around the world living my dream. That's the person I am, and that'll never change. And you know, you may hear various reports. They say I come across as fairly grumpy at times and not very sociable. I'll be fair, I'm not the most sociable person. I tend to be pretty quiet, not say too much, but there are some things that will always ring true about me, and that is that there are certain things that I believe in that will never waver. As I said, right now I'm manager of this football club, and everything I will do in actions and in words will be to protect this football club and to uphold its values, its traditions, and hopefully, as I said, bring some special moments that you guys, I'm sure you're all many generation supporters. You're not supporters of the last 2-3 years, that I'm hoping you pass on to your kids and talk about the time that I was here. So that's who I am. My wife will tell you I'm pretty simple, one-dimensional. I'll watch football day and night. I've got 2 young kids that drive me nuts. So from that point of view, there's nothing too mysterious about me.
Yep. Thanks, Ange, and good luck.
Thank you.
Tom, for yourself, a few of the guys have spoken about recruitment. With Ange's contacts in Australia and Asia, will that be a part of the world that you're tapping into in terms of some of the potential recruits?
Definitely. We wanted to leave no stone left unturned in terms of bringing talent into the club or bringing talent to the club. I sort of jokingly said to Ange, I'd love to get the next Nakamura over to Scotland. So, look, I think we've got...
You can still get Nakamura, he's playing.
He's 43, so, I think. Yeah,
he's 43.
So, look, I think absolutely, why would you not want to tap into that experience? But we've got a wealth of experience across the global sort of Celtic family, whether through our formal scouting network or our informal scouting network. So our challenge, as I said earlier on, is to make sure we bed Ange in, give him the support that he needs and the team needs, and then look to evolve all of our structures. And I guess we will leave no stone left unturned to make sure we've got the best structure, to make sure this team, this club, is a club that we all continue to be greatly proud of.
Thanks, Dobbin. Good luck to you both, guys.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. Martin from 20 Minute Tims. Ange, very warm welcome to you, and thanks for having us. In terms of your style of play, you've already spoke about that, but have you got a preferred formation you like to start off with, and do you think you can implement that before Champions League qualifiers and get your style of play going?
Yeah, look, for the most part, you know, my teams kind of play with a, you know, some kind of 4-3-3 formation. But the key part of that is it's not so much the formation, it's just the type of footballers that, you know, I need in certain positions. And that's the work we're doing on, you know, right now, is to, you know, the gaps we have in the squad, and there are some gaps, some pretty noticeable ones, is we try and bring in footballers who, you know, will provide the energy, the speed, the technical ability, the courage to play the football that I want to. So, you know, there might be sort of little tweaks in the formation. It's usually, like I said, a 4-3-3. I love playing with wingers. I love playing with wide men who sort of take people on, because I think it's a great way, avenue to goal. But, you know, with what we have at the moment, I think there's a core group of players there that I see can really develop and you know, show some real growth in terms of their football just by us changing our way. But there's certainly some gaps there where I'm going to be trying to bring in a certain type of footballer. And as I said, for me, that involves, you know, some speed, some energy, players willing to take some risks. So those kind of things are important.
Good, looking forward to it. And Dom, after what happened earlier in the summer, can you tell us about the process that led to appointing Ange, and if he's 100% your man?
Oh, he's 100% my man. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I think the sort of process, we probably commented that previously. What I can say is, when having lived in Australia and spent time living in being out in Japan, particularly most recently, Ange is well known to me and has been for a long time. So when I had the chance to speak to him, when the opportunity to arose, it was just a great conversation. And you can see from him, in terms of his style, his philosophy, his experience, his passion for this club, it was an easy conversation. And it was a great moment when I asked him, you know, we would like you to become the next Celtic Football Club manager. And there wasn't the slightest hesitation. And that's what I wanted. I wanted a winner, someone that got the club and that wants to go with me on a journey now, to really begin to modernise and develop the club in a number of different ways. And I can't wait for us to start. We're going to have a busy summer, of course we are, but the prize here is just to make sure we've got sustained structures that give us the opportunity to have good success.
All right, thanks very much, and good luck, guys.
Thank you.
That's Kenny Byrne, Celtic Fans TV. Like everyone else, welcome. It's great to see a fresh impetus getting into this season. First question for Ange. Ange, we do have one of your countrymen here in Tom Rodgick. Tom was a really integral player for Celtic 2-3 years ago. He's found his game time a bit limited for various reasons over the last couple of years. Can you tell us a bit about your relationship with him, how you see him as a player, and do you have a confidence that you can revitalise him to back to the levels that he was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, no, obviously I know Tommy very well, and I had him in the national team when I was national team manager, and extremely talented player. He's one of those players who I think, you know, people are happy to pay to watch because he can turn, you know, some ordinary moments into something special. My understanding is he's had some problems, particularly with his body, over the last period. And I think that's probably been his biggest challenge. Even when I had him in the national team, was consistently trying to get him to a certain level from his body point of view. I haven't had a good chat to him yet, so I'll certainly be doing that with him and the rest of the players. And you know, does he fit into the style of football I want to play? Absolutely. But, you know, Tommy knows me better than anyone in that dressing room right now, and he knows that I treat everyone the same. I set us off in a certain direction, and the ones who want to be a part of that are part of that, and the ones who maybe can't be or don't want to be, then will fall by the wayside. But he's certainly someone who I'm looking forward to working with again. I'm hoping we can get him fit and playing the football that I know he's shown here at different times. And I know he can show in my style of football because he's already done it with the national team.
Thank you. To Dom, you arrive here whereby we've been in a cycle recently of selling our best players in recent years. And I think to a certain extent the fans accept that within the confines of Scottish football, well, that's something that has to happen. But even within Scotland, some clubs have managed to avoid that recently by courting external investment, considering share issues. Is that something that we as a club, you as a CEO, are going to look to potentially bring in going forward to fund the rebuild and break this cycle that's stunting our growth of selling our best players?
Well, I think the key thing for us is to assemble the best possible squad and players and coaching team that we can to bring success. How we go about doing that, there'll be lots of different ways that we could potentially do that. Finance is one element of that. Also, we spoke with Brian earlier on about the importance of investing in the academy. I guess one of the challenges, if I go back to my old experience in rugby, you know, we worked really hard there to grow our revenues. We doubled our revenues, actually, over a five-year period. So I think there's huge potential left still in the tank at Celtic to grow our revenues, both domestically and particularly internationally. And having chaired an international league, I'm quite interested to get to know a little bit more about the operations of the SPFL and the SFA and see if they're adding sufficient value into the club. So when we spoke earlier on about looking under various rocks, I'm going to make sure we look under rocks to make sure we've got the right funds, the right investment, the right support to give Ange and ourselves the best chance of that sustained success.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi Dom, hi Ange, how you doing? First question for Dom. Last season was a disaster for a lot of reasons. One of the big issues was communication, such as the kind of January review that led to a lot of protests, exclusives being leaked to the Sun newspaper, which is nothing common by Celtic. Going forward, how do you make sure the communication coming out of the club is a lot better and a lot more kind of fan-led, essentially?
Well, thanks for the question, and thanks for coming in today. Today's a good example of that. As maybe mentioned, keen to try and have that engagement on a regular basis. In fact, you know, we've spoken to the broadcasters up first, but then we came straight to see you all before we even go and do the dailies and the Sunday newspapers. And that hopefully gives a bit of an indication of our level of respect for you all. But importantly, this is a club, it's really a big family. And I think the best way for us to make sure that we're all pushing the same direction is to make sure we know what each other think. So engagement's two-way for me. It can't just be about us seeing. It also needs to be about us listening as well. So over the next number of months and years, we want to develop that. What's really interesting is that the media environment that we all operate, that you operate in, is completely changing before our eyes. And I think that's something that clubs like Celtic and other clubs and other sports organisations need to be ready to adapt their plans to change along with that changing environment. I spent a lot of time in North American sport learning about what happens behind the scenes there. And fan media is a very effective part of sporting franchises. So I think there's some lessons for us to learn from other parts of the world, but I'm keen to make sure that engagement's as meaningful as it possibly can be.
Thank you very much and best of luck. Question for Ange. As much as people spoke about a lot of big changes in the club, one of the biggest was our captain has left to join Aberdeen, Scott Brown. He was a massive part of the team and the squad and the club as a whole for 14 years. In terms of yourself, do you plan on bringing in a captain or is the current captain in the squad, and what would you look for in a captain?
Yeah, as you say, Scott has had an unbelievable career, and my understanding, I had an external view, but being in the club now, just what a massive influence he was, both on and off the park. A tremendous person and character, and always looked after the interests of the football club. But I guess everyone's journey comes to some sort of end, and he's looking at the next chapter of his career. That provides, I guess, opportunity now, and that can come from within, because I've always felt when people like a Scott Brown leave a club, then there's a vacuum, but maybe that also is an opportunity for somebody else to step up who may at different times have felt not comfortable being in that role. I think there's some people within the club that I think show some leadership qualities. But again, I'll take my time making that decision. I want to see, because obviously the environment's going to be different now. As a different manager, we're going to do things differently. As I said, I'm pretty strong on certain values and certain ways of doing things. So, I'll find the person who fits those values. And if that's in the football club, and I hope it is, because, I've always felt that, people within a football club who spend some time have a stronger attachment, understand the club better than bringing in somebody externally. If that person exists there, I'll identify it, and because it is an important role, making the leader of our football club.
Magic, thanks very much. Best of luck. Cheers.
Thank you.
Hi guys, James Forrest, the Celtic blog. First question to Ange. A lot of us believe that there was a general fall in standards in terms of training and coaching in the last 2 years. I think most of us would like to know that you're committed to sports science, to analytics, and to all like the, modern modes of thinking and coaching. And we've also lost a lot of youth players. A lot of really, really promising talent has left their academy and gone abroad or whatever. And I'm thinking that one of the reasons why the board likes you so much in terms of your coaching background is that you've worked with youth players and you've helped develop them and they're far better players, and hopefully you can help us arrest the outward movement of our youth stars.
Most definitely. The one challenge I've had sort of being on the other side of the world where, to be fair, people don't rate the football that great, but I always try to get an edge any way I could. So when I was coaching the Australian national team and we're at a World Cup and we're playing against the Netherlands and they've got, Van Persie and Robin up front and we've got, players who are playing at that level, where could we get our edge? Our edge was in sports science. Our edge was in analytics. And it's not my domain. It's not my expertise. I struggle with Zoom. That's as bad as I get. So I came through an education system with a pen and paper. But I've been smart enough along the way to know that if I get the best people around me in those areas, it definitely gives you an edge. And it's where football, where sport's going in general. I think it's where life's going in general. That's going to be a massive part. So when sort of people talk to me about the staff changes, and they tend to focus on the coaching aspect, which I understand, but the coaching aspect I'm totally comfortable with. I've been doing it for 25 years. I know that space. For me, I want to look at the other areas of the club in terms of the football department, those areas that you've mentioned, and make sure we're absolutely best practice. That's where I want us to have an edge over everyone else, because if you have even a 1% advantage over your opponent before the game starts because of your preparation, the information you're given, the way you've prepared your players, then it gives you a better chance of success. So it's definitely going to be part, a huge part of what I'm trying to build in the club. And in terms of young players, I've already said that I just think it's so important that, you know, one, we were able to identify the best young talent, two, to give them the opportunity, and three, to keep them at our football club. It's the best possible story if you can grab a kid off the terrace who's 8 or 9 years old with a Celtic scarf and see him run out here as a senior player one day, because that means everybody in that stadium knows his journey. So it's a massive part of, again, you know, what I'll be focusing on.
Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you.
Dom, hi, how are you doing? You're coming into a club right now that needs an enormous rebuild structurally. And it's really interesting hearing you talk today about a clean slate, as it were. It's obvious that some of the ideas that were being put in place no longer are, and there's a lot of change going on behind the scenes. Celtic isn't the only organisation you'll be involved with that needs reformed. Now, you've dealt with the SFA in terms of Hampden, and when there was discussion about moving international fixtures and cup finals to Murrayfield. So you know that the SFA is an anarchic and, frankly, not fit for purpose organisation. A lot of us think that Celtic have missed several opportunities to reform the way the SFA works and the way it works for Scottish football. Namely, financial fair play regulations, fitting for proper persons, the way clubs are financed and how the SFA reviews that, refereeing. There are a lot of areas in which the SFA needs a good clear out. A lot of us feel the opportunities have been missed. How engaged are you going to be, and can you give us some commitments in those areas and others?
That's a big question. Thank you for it. So my background most recently has been involved with running a governing body, a big governing body, and transforming it, going on a real journey with it in terms of professionalising it and perhaps making it less archaic. I've also had the great joy of being a director and chairman of a league, a cross-border international league, and sitting on the board of a number of other organisations that are involved with high-performance sport. So I think I've got a good understanding of the challenges that any governing body might face or any league might face. So hopefully my experience in that regard can be put to good use to make sure that we evolve and support the evolving elements of football in Scotland. My real focus is Celtic. My sole focus is making sure this club is putting a smile in everybody's face again.
Agreed.
And we do that in a great way. But to do that, we're going to need to have a bit more influence in shaping some of the other parts of the football environment. So we're really interested in that. But what I would say is that the welcome that I've had here from the Celtic family, the welcome that I've had from other clubs, has been really positive, because I think they perhaps see me as someone that's coming with a different perspective and a keenness to try and affect some change. So step by step, let's focus on making sure Celtic's as strong as it can be. But at the same time, as Ange mentioned earlier on, we'll back Celtic as hard as we possibly can.
Thank you very much, mate.
Hi guys, Hamish from 67 Hail Hail. Just to welcome both of you to the club. Obviously a lot of work ahead of both of you, so all the best. Ange, I'll start with you. Obviously, like everyone in this room, we wanted to find out as much as we could about you. We spoke to Vince Regari from your homeland, I think you know. He had a lot of positive things to say. One thing he did raise was the fact that your teams can take some time to get used to your way of playing, your philosophy, just the overall kind of ethos. Is that something you think is a fair comment? And how far do you think this Celtic side you inherited are from where you want them to be?
Yeah, look, I mean, people always sort of say that you know, it takes time. But, I mean, I assume everyone wants to be successful. They all like the ending. So I think if you talk to people I've actually been involved with, none of them really talk about how long it took. They just talk about the fact that it was, you know, a special time. So I don't put time frames on those things. Sometimes it happens quickly. Sometimes it takes a little bit more time. There's no doubt you're not going to see in the first Champions League game, the team flying the way I want to. But at the same time, it's not to say that we can't make significant progress quickly. My goal is to have this club playing football. It's going to excite every one of you, and we're going to be successful. I can't say how that story is going to be written. Like most great stories, there's going to be some twists and turns, a little bit of unknown. That's the exciting bit. I can't tell you it's going to take a month, 2 months, 6 months. What I do know is that whenever I've committed to the task and that's been at every club I've been in, the ending's been the way it should be. So every day I'm going to work hard to make sure it's as quick as possible. But I'm not going to take shortcuts. I'm not going to compromise what I'm saying and what I believe just to win a game, because ultimately I want us to be the very best. So I'm not going to compromise on that. So I can't tell you how long it's going to take. I will tell you that we will get there.
Great, thanks very much. Dom, the one word I've heard you saying, numerous occasions is modernisation and, modernising the club. You said, I think, when Andrew was appointed, that both of you kind of share that view. Just specifically, what areas do you feel at Celtic are in need of modernisation and how do you intend to go about that?
Thanks, Hamish. I think every element of the club needs to make sure it remains as professional, as slick, and as world-class as it should be. We operate in a high-performance environment. We want to make sure that we've got the best possible tools and people and processes at our disposal. So every part of the organisation I'm going to want to make sure is ready for the next 10 years, and that's my mission. Having done that pretty much in rugby, transformed that with a great team across there, I want to make sure we've got a brilliant, brilliant foundation here at Celtic, unbelievable foundation. I want to make sure that we are ready for the next 10 years. And Ange mentioned earlier on that whether it's in data analytics, whether it's in recruitment, whether it's in engagement, whether it's on investment in facilities, whether it's up at Lennox Town or Barrowfield or here at the stadium, I want to make sure that we are ready for the next 10 years and that we're surprising and delighting people along the way. But it's a journey. And to Ange's point about the business and the overall club responsibility, we can't take shortcuts. So we've got to do things right. And that's my point. We just do things methodically and sensibly to make sure we're ready for the next decade. And I think people are really believing in that. People really recognise that there, perhaps a moment has passed for us now to go again and go hard. I got the numbers for the season tickets just as I wandered through the door earlier on, and they're off the scale good in terms of where I thought they were going to be. So that's a huge thank you to everybody that's once again bought season tickets. And I cannot wait to welcome them all back to Celtic Park. I was explaining to Ange over the last sort of few weeks what it's like at Celtic Park on a match day, a particular European match day. It's special. So I cannot wait for him to experience that, for our players to experience that, and even more importantly, for you all to experience that to come back out. So we're going to keep modernising in a number of different ways, methodically and sensibly, but we'll do that together.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Hi guys, John from Gigpod here. Thanks for inviting us. Dom, my question's for you first. Can you give us an update on the process about getting fans back into the stadium? As you said, I think the fans are going to be desperate to get back. That was maybe one of the reasons, not an excuse, why we were so poor last season, but have you got an update on the process for that and how soon maybe fans will be back for next season?
So we're very active in that regard. Like 2.5 hours ago, I was in a call with the government just talking specifically about bringing supporters back into Celtic Park. I've got some more meetings tomorrow on this subject. We are in good shape. You probably also saw the announcement from the First Minister just last week in terms of social distancing potentially being reduced and then disappearing during August. We are already in a level system where you can get up to sort of 2,000 into Celtic Park. But both Ange and I were fortunate enough to be at the England game down in Wembley, where we had 22,500 people into Wembley. And Hampden, of course, has had 12,500 into Wembley. Tomorrow I'll be at rugby, just looking at the facilities. I'm not going back, but looking at the facilities. But they've got 16,500 in at rugby. So if it's good enough for Hampden, it's good enough for Murrayfield, it's good enough for Wembley, it's certainly good enough for Celtic Park. So we'll be working really hard with the government and the city to get as many supporters back in as we possibly can for that European game. And I'm comforted by the direction of travel that the country is going in at the moment in respect of the First Minister's announcement just last week.
And Andrew, a question for you is, as Dom says, you attended the Scotland-England game where Callum McGregor was fantastic, and you also played well for Scotland on night, scoring that goal. How impressed were you with him, and have you had a chance to talk to him yet about the role he'll play next season?
Yeah, no, I was very, very impressed with Callum. Just watching him live at Wembley was fantastic. He put in an incredible shift, and he was great the other night too, scoring the goal. And just seeing him, he seemed to grow in stature as the tournament went on. With every game, he felt more and more sort of comfortable. And I sent him a text message wishing him all the best and congratulating him as well. And I can't wait to get him back into camp and sort of back into the club and get him training, because I think more than anything else, he will feel really good about himself coming from that tournament, and that energy that he got from that, and the positive, and I'm sure he wants more of it. He's now played at a major tournament and in world football, and I'm sure he wants to experience more on that, and I'm sure he wants to take Celtic up to those levels. So I can't wait to get him back in, and all the other national team lads. I think I can only see it as a positive, the experience they've had, and I look forward to welcoming him back down to Lennox Town and getting him back into training.
Thanks, guys. Good luck next season.
Thank you.
Can I just sort of say a huge thank you to everyone? You guys have had a very long lockdown. You've been away from this wonderful stadium, so it's great to have you back in today. Thank you for the support that you've given to Ange and you've given to me. We promise that we're going to work extremely hard to make you happy and smile, and it's great to be back moving positively forward, so thank you very much.
Best press conference ever. Yeah.
Okay, so welcome. Thank you for coming. It's good to see you. Today is the start of a new chapter for Celtic Football Club. It's taken us a little longer than some would have liked, but when you're hunting for gemstones, patience is a virtue. So we have two people to introduce today, obviously. Don Mackay, he's been in the business for several weeks, but he takes office as CEO next Wednesday, 1st of July. Don brings a fresh management style. He brings a wider experience of other disciplines. He's very much connected and understands the modern sporting arena across the world. Ange Postecoglou brings another perspective from an entirely different part of the world. He brings profound experience, and he brings a style of football that I think Celtic will love. The aim now is to look firmly forward, hunt down the big opportunities. We've possibly been a little too introspective in the recent months. It's time to widen the camera lens and go forward from here. To the fans, I'd say a massive thank you for sticking with it. Now let's put that extraordinary energy into supporting the manager, supporting the team, and supporting the club. That's about as much as I want to say, so I want to hand over to Dom.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see you all. I'm delighted that we are welcoming Ange to Celtic Park today. I think securing Ange is a huge coup for this club. Having spent a number of weeks getting to know Ange, I'm hugely impressed by his style, his plans, his philosophy, and I cannot wait to see him taking the team in the games ahead. So we've got a real winner in Ange, and that was something that's very important to the club. So I'm thrilled that we've managed to secure him. It's a huge job to be the head coach, manager of Celtic Football Club. You need a lot of experience, and Ange has 25 years of experience, both at the international level, but also at the club level, and that'll be hugely helpful to Celtic. So I'm absolutely thrilled. So it's great that he's able to come to us today. He's taken a little bit of time because we'd have to do our quarantining, as many of you will know, down in London. But it's brilliant that he's here today. So thank you very much for coming out. And Ange, a very warm welcome to Celtic.
Thank you. Thanks, Dom, and thank you, Chairman. And good afternoon, everyone. I'm absolutely equally humbled and excited and about the responsibility that's been given to me as manager of the Celtic Football Club. From my perspective, it's something that
you know, I would have dreamt about years ago being over here and managing in Europe, but to be given the opportunity to manage one of the big clubs is fantastic for me. As I said, it's a great challenge and an exciting opportunity, one I'm looking forward to. And hopefully over the course of time we create some special moments here at Celtic Park and you know, rightfully bring this club back to where it should be. Thank you.
And welcome. Congratulations, first and foremost.
Thank you.
How would you describe what you bring to this role, what your approach will be at Celtic?
I guess what I bring is maybe a little bit of a different perspective. I've had a different, probably, journey in football than many others. You know, most of my experience has been on the other side of the world and I guess, you know, at international level. I bring here what I bring to every football club I worked with, every organisation, that is a real clear idea of how I want a team to play and a clear idea of how success comes from that. And, you know, the one thing I think people will be in no doubt about is how the team will play its football. Every club I've coached, every team I've coached has had a real clear identity in terms of that, and I think it fits nicely with the traditions and the expectations of this club. And I think it's probably, I mean, I'm not one to say, but it's probably one of the reasons why, you know, I was chosen, because I really think that's an important part of us moving forward, is that we want to play our football a certain way, and my 25 years I've played football a certain way.
As Dom alluded to, there have been certain obstacles to get past to get you here. Can you talk us through the process to get you to be here today in terms of the interview process remotely, but also having to deal with the quarantine?
Yeah, I'd rather not, because I've just got through it. But, yeah, no, it was a challenge. Everyone's going through challenging times. We all have to do things a little bit differently. So every process is a little bit, takes a little bit longer. It's not as smooth as we'd all like it to be. So, you know, the initial contact came obviously, you know, via Zoom, and you know, I had great chats with the people involved and obviously the key decision makers, and you know, they obviously did their background on me, and I did my research to make sure that we were a good fit. And and since the decision's been made, it's again, you know, obviously I was already in a role in Japan, so I had to make sure that everything went smoothly there, because I had a great relationship with the Yokohama Marinos club, and it was getting across. And you know, again, we've had to follow protocols, rightly so, like every other citizen of the world. And but during that time, you know, I've been working. Everyone's been really good at the club in making themselves accessible. You know, at all hours of the day, you know, fighting jet lag at 3 a.m. I could still work. So, so yeah, it's been a long process. But at all stages, what I was looking forward to was yesterday, just that first training session, because that's where I do my work. And you know, I had a good first day yesterday.
Last season, Celtic finished 25 points behind the eventual champions. How confident are you, given how much there is to do in a short space of time? You can be competitive from day one in the league, but also in the Champions League qualifiers, which come even sooner.
Yeah. Well, as I said in my initial comments, it is a massive challenge. But you know, as a manager, you always get opportunities where there is a massive challenge. You don't walk into places where everything's running smoothly and the team's running well. So I understood that before I got here. I'm not really looking at gains we have to make from last year. I'm looking at the football we're going to play, and if we get those fundamentals right, and you know, there's a method I have in doing that, and it's a process that takes certain steps to go through. If we play our football, we'll have a good chance of success. And for me, that's a day-to-day proposition of every day trying to improve a little bit in certain key areas. And you know, every club I've managed, every organisation I've been involved in, the focus has been on making sure every day we get a little bit better. And, you know, at the end of the race, we lift our heads and hopefully we're in first place.
I'll ask this question as delicately as I can. I hope you won't take offence by it. The club spoke to another candidate before turning to you. On the face value, perhaps you weren't their first choice. Does that put you out, or does that act as extra motivation to prove them right now?
No, I mean that was very delicate the way you did put it. So it's no, I mean, you know, you're assuming I was second choice. I might have been fifth choice. I don't know, but it doesn't really bother me. I mean, I as I said, for me, what's important is that I've been given the responsibility and the opportunity. Just that fact alone shows that the people have made this decision have faith in me. That's all I need. And from then on, it's up to me to sort of get down to working it the way I want to and, as I said, trying to bring success to this football club.
Hi there. It's a question for yourself, Ange and Dom. Can you just give us an idea of what the management structure is going to be like and who will be involved?
Sure. So I'll kick on first. Ange, of course, is the manager of Celtic and will lead the football side of our organisation. I, having taken up the position of Chief Executive, will look across the whole organisation at football, at the business side, at the engagement side, and we'll make sure we've got the right structure for the next decade. That's really important. But with the experience that we've got with Ange at the international level, at the professional level in Japan and Australia, I'm going to tap into great expertise here to make sure we get the right football environment. What's really important to me is that we win and we have success and sustained success. So that means you've got to have the right environment across all those three areas that I mentioned earlier on. So I couldn't be more pleased to have someone with the experience and the depth of experience that Ange has to help us on that journey.
Talking about experience, it's been suggested there will be a director of football role and Gordon Strachan may be back in that capacity. Is that the case?
No. So I guess I just mentioned a moment ago, one of the things that I guess any new chief exec wants to do is look across the whole organisation. This is a fantastic club with really solid foundations, but I want to make my own mark, and part of that is looking across how we might want to modernise and how we might want to evolve, whether that's on the business side, on the football side, or the engagement side. So we'll take our time, we'll put the right structures in place to make sure we have got a modern, forward-looking club, and as part of that, a critical component is to have a successful winning team led by a brilliant manager, and that's what I've managed to secure.
So just to confirm, is a no to a director of football role and Gordon Strachan, or both?
I'm completely open-minded. So I think your suggestion was Gordon's coming in to do a director of football role. That's not the intention. My plan is to have a look around the structure and decide what the right structure is. Once we've got an idea of what the right structure is and what it feels like, then we'll get the right sort of people to populate that.
And can you just confirm who your backroom team is? Is it going to continue to be John and Gavin?
I'll make those decisions as we go along. My view on these things has always been that I'll trust my judgment above anyone else's, because I'm going to be the one working with people every day. I've had plenty of people offering opinions, and that's great, and I take as much information in as possible. But every role I've walked into, I'll back myself to make the right decisions. And they'll happen over the course of the next sort of few weeks, both with players and with staff. I'm really pleased with the reaction I've had so far, but there's no doubt the environment will change, the way we work will change, and we'll see over time which people fit in. And if we need to bring people in to fill gaps or to add to expertise, then we'll do that. The club's given me the freedom to do that. But again, I'll make my decisions, when I've seen what's in place first. Yeah.
A number of loan players have gone back to the parent clubs. A number of players are in the final year of their contract. One player's in the final 6 months. What sort of rebuild job do you have here?
Yeah, it's fairly extensive. I mean, I think, as you pointed out, it is a season of sort of change. But again, I think after sort of the period of success and then what happened last year at Celtic, I think it was at the football club, it was always going to be a time of change at some point. From my perspective, it's an opportunity. Yes, we do have to make some changes, but at least, I can make changes that I think will help us go in the direction I want to. So that means whether it's staff or footballers, I can bring in the ones that I think will fit the picture as it is now. But we have a lot of work to do, and it's already started. I know people are keen to know what moves we are making, but we're working very hard. Again, there's some challenges that everyone's facing, but from my perspective, with the players we have existing, they'll all be treated on merit, and as I said, the environment will be there for them to embrace should they want to. And for ones coming in, we'll bring ones that I know will fit.
Christopher Ayer has stated publicly that he wants to leave, and he says the club said that would be allowed to happen. Hudson-Edward is constantly linked with a move to Leicester. What can you tell us about their futures?
Well, I haven't spoken to either of them yet, so I'll wait till I speak to both of them. They're both, just sort of arrived in the country, as have I, and I'll have discussions with them, and we'll make the best decisions for the football club. That's where my interest lies. For me, the individuals within that, I totally understand and respect their own wishes, but I'll always make decisions that are in the best interest of this football club, because that's my responsibility. That's why I've been brought in. So whatever I think is going to be best for our football club moving forward in my area, that's the direction we'll go.
Final one. Chris.
Yeah, a question for both Ange and Dominic. You've both had a limited opportunity to have a look around at the job that needs done. What is at the top of your to-do list?
I'm going to go first. There's a lot to do, and that's the great challenge. In some respects, both Ange and I are outsiders, so it gives us an opportunity to look around with fresh eyes and a fresh perspective across various parts of the club. What I mentioned earlier on is that the club is in fantastic, fundamental shape. We've had a disappointing season last year, but our challenge is to bring back that success, have winning teams on the park. Priority for me just now is to settle Ange in, make sure we have a productive pre-season, and then start to evolve and modernise the club. And importantly, to get spectators back into the building. I've just come off a call with the Scottish Government, which gave me enormous confidence that we're going to get some spectators in before too long. So, we're sitting here at Celtic Park and no one wants to be in an empty stadium. So a priority has to be settle the team in, settle Ange in, and then make sure we get people back into the building.
My priorities change minute by minute because there's so much to do. So just depending on what's important today, I think I've already sort of stated publicly, I have a real interest in what happens today and making sure that today's perfect for us and then moving from there. But yeah, the priority for us right now, as we speak, is to make sure that, when our first Champions League game comes around, that we're as ready as possible. So it's a pretty narrow focus to work on the players that we know are going to be there for that game, trying to bring some players in, and trying to work as hard as we can on the training track to make sure that the players understand the kind of football we want to play, because right now that's sort of our main priority. But for me, that means that it's a day-to-day proposition.
Much has been made about the jump this is for you, perhaps. How big a jump do you think this is in terms of your career? And also, quite a lot has been made about the pressure of being Celtic manager. What are your expectations of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by jump, but I'm assuming you're saying I worked at a lower level or some lesser level. That's a matter of opinion. I've coached at a World Cup. I've coached at against some of the best teams in the world. So that's not how I look at it. I look at it as another opportunity, an exciting challenge, an opportunity to work. Where I know. People are so passionate about the game. All those factors are what's attractive to me. I know the history and traditions of this football club, and I know how passionate the supporters are. Everyone tells me the experience here at Celtic Park is like no other. That's why I'm here. And if that means, you talk about pressure. If I didn't want pressure, I'd probably be doing a different kind of occupation, or would have stayed coaching my local club with my friends. But I'm here because this is where I want to be, and this is where I want to coach, and this is where I want to have success. So, and I think most people understand that, and I think I'll get judged on what happens moving forward rather than what's happened in the past.
One for Dominic. The chairman mentioned it took a little longer than some would have liked. Why did it take so long?
Sometimes to get the best, you just have to wait a little bit longer. And I'm utterly delighted that we've managed to secure Ange. I have spent time in Australia. I spent a lot of time in Japan, so I knew all about Ange. So when the opportunity came to speak to him, it was a great conversation. And it was a really productive, quick conversation. Probably one of the best conversations, if not the best conversation I've had in the last 5 weeks. When I offered Andrew the role, he immediately accepted, and I could tell immediately that he had the passion, the keenness and the desire to get Celtic back to winning ways. And that's what I wanted. We wanted, as a club, a winner. And his experience, being a bit of an outsider like myself, I think is enormously valuable.
Have the club set Ange targets, and Ange, have you set targets for yourself?
So the targets for every Celtic manager and every Celtic supporter is about winning, about having success. We're craving that success. We've had unbelievable success, 9 titles in a row, quadruple trebles. So we want to get back to successful ways, but we want to do that with a style and a panache and a flair, which Ange's teams in Japan and Australia have delivered. So I think it's about winning, of course it is, but it's about doing it in a certain way.
I just want us to play football everyone talks about. If we do that, I reckon we'll be well on the way to success.
Ange, you talk about this being a season of change, and a sense of, have you got to kind of balance that with the expectations of the fans that they want a league title in your first season?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And again, you know, the supporters are passionate, and that's what you look for. Again, anyone who knows me and sort of my history, I don't take finishing second too well either. So, you know, I'm driven to be successful, and I understand that the people, there's an immediacy about that. I mean, it's the world we live in nowadays. We don't want to wait too long for too many things. But, you know, I've managed to sort of navigate a career where I can match the goals of building football teams that play a certain way with success at the same time, and that's my goal here. And I'm hoping that the supporters and everyone involved with the football club will see almost from the first day that that the football we play will excite them, and they look ahead, and I'm well aware of what the expectations are in terms of success. So, but that's why I'm here.
You've touched on players already, but one player that is out of contract is Lee Griffiths. He says he has had discussions with you. Is he a player that does have a future here?
Yeah, I've had a good chat to Lee. Again, he's a player who's had who's done fantastically well for the football club over a number of years, and had a great discussion with him. Again, he's in the same place as everyone else. A lot of it will be dependent on them and them embracing what I'm trying to do. I've made it clear the kind of football club we're going to be, the kind of football we're going to play, the expectations around that in terms of everything that's involved in being a professional footballer. And, we'll continue those discussions. And if Lee fits in the picture, then I'm happy to bring him back. But, again, those kind of decisions I'll make when I have all the information on it.
And for you, in terms of rebuilding the squad, players could leave, players coming in, does Ange have the financial backing from the board to rebuild this squad in the way that he wants to?
Of course, we want to make sure that we've got the best possible team on the park for the new season. Celtic, like every club, like every industry, has been affected by the pandemic, as all your industries have been affected as well. But because of the smart financial management of the club over the last number of years, we're in the best possible shape to be able to capitalise on Ange's appointment and bringing back some players to make sure we can hit the ground running. We've got a lot of work to do, we recognise that, but we're in great shape to be able to do that.
Hi Ange, you said at the start that the Celtic job was a kind of role you dreamt about years ago. Can you just tell us what you knew about Celtic and just the wider Scottish football before Dominic even contacted you?
Yeah, I've mentioned to a few people, I know sort of Australia and kind of the other side of the world feels like maybe a different planet to people over here, but I can tell you that Celtic is very well known on the other side of the world. I grew up in Melbourne, and I love football, not just playing football. I was passionate about football from a young age, and I wanted to know everything about it. So as you do as a young inquisitive boy, I wanted to learn about all the great teams in the world, and Celtic was certainly one of them. So I read the stories of the Lisbon Lions and Jock Steen, and then followed it. I had, the team I played for when I first started playing had 5 or 6 Scotsmen in the team. One of them is still a season ticket holder at Celtic. So he brainwashed me from a very young age as to why this football club's great. So, I think sometimes, again, from this side of the world, you don't appreciate the magnitude of a club like Celtic. I'm very, very familiar, and I'm not alone in that. I think the whole of Australia is pretty excited about my appointment, not necessarily because it's me, because it's this football club, because everyone knows who Celtic Football Club is. So, when I said it was, a dream of mine, yeah, it's been a dream of mine to manage in Europe, for sure. But to be able to do it at one of the big football clubs, one of the most famous football clubs, it's like I said, I'm truly humbled and equally excited by it.
You said you want your teams to play football that's talked about. Dominic talked about panache, attacking style. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, your philosophy, any specific formations? You know, what can Celtic fans expect from your team?
They can expect from my team the same that I've delivered with every other team I've managed, and that is, you know, we want to be a team that's exciting to watch, that scores goals, that's aggressive, that doesn't take backward steps, that doesn't fear any opponent or any team. You know, we want to dominate games of football, but they're all words, you know. Every football team I've coached has had an element of that. And that's why we've been successful. And the reason I do it is because it brings success, not because of some, you know, ideological dream I have about the way football should be played. It just brings me success wherever I've been. So, you know, I hope this place is rocking, you know, and people don't sit down for 90 minutes. And it's exciting at both ends of the field, defensively and attacking. But our teams will be set up to win games. You know, we won't go in any game fearing any opponent or wanting to take a backward step.
Okay, go. Andrew, you mentioned it's an extensive kind of rebuild. Have you had similar challenges in the past, and what's been the key to hitting the ground running when you?
Yeah, as I said, I think just about every job I've had has been an extensive rebuild for a number of reasons. One is, you know, usually you come in when people are needing change. Secondly, you know, the way I sort of get my teams to play is challenging and requires a major shift, usually both in, you know, playing stocks or staff or the way we work. So it's not unusual. I guess the challenge we have this time is just time more than anything else, in that, you know, we're less than 4 weeks away from a Champions League game, which is very important. So that's probably the only bit that's a little bit different from the past. But in terms of the rebuild, this is the bit I enjoy, you know. In terms of my management style, I am a builder. You know, I like building football teams that play a certain way and are exciting to watch, and that takes certain elements to be involved. And this is the process we're in at the moment. So it is difficult, but as I said, this is the bit I enjoy, because this is the bit where we put the bricks and mortar in place to build something special.
I know it may be difficult to predict, but if all goes well, when would you like to see? When can we expect to see your first signing, and how many do you hope to make before the Champions League?
Yesterday, a couple of days ago. Look, we're working hard, and to be fair, like I said, it's a challenging time, you know, all around the world in terms of signing players and the ability to even watch players these days is very difficult, but club's working awfully hard and I'm pushing them as hard as I can, and we're hoping that we can make some announcements very, very soon. And certainly, you know, from our perspective, there's some urgency around at least a couple of positions, particularly with this game coming up in 4 weeks' time.
Thanks. Dom, can I just ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
Obviously, last season there was a bit of a, I think it's fair to say, there's a bit of a disconnect at times between the fans and the club. How do you go about getting, you know, the fans back on side, back on board?
I think the focus is about, I guess, a new journey that we're on together, which is about coming back out with the team and performing, and also getting supporters back into the stadium. I got a note just as I came in the door there to say how we're doing in terms of season ticket sales. It's been incredible, the level of interest in our season ticket sales. So as soon as we can get people back into the building, I think that connection re-establishes itself, watching a team which is playing the way that Ange wants them to play. That's the focus for us, and there's other things one can do to make sure the closeness between the club and the supporters is a bit tighter, but ultimately it comes down to having a successful team, I think, people back into the building, and that's a big focus for us.
And on the subject of fans back in the stadium, can you maybe elaborate further on the talks with the Scottish Government? Can we expect even full houses, you know, early in the season at all?
Well, Ange and I were fortunate enough to be down Wembley with about 22,500 people watching the Scotland-England game, which was an incredible game. And it was great to have that number of people back into the stadium. And the way in which they set up the stadium was exactly how we will set up the stadium up at Celtic Park. And I think the announcement that came through from the First Minister just about a week ago in respect of social distancing being reduced on the 19th of July and then again on the, I think it's the 8th of August, gives us renewed confidence that we can get large volumes of supporters back in
to back the team here at Celtic Park and, of course, other stadiums across Scotland. So we're very active with the government just now. We're very active with the council, making sure we've got robust plans. But that's what our supporters have been crying out for, the opportunity to come back in and back their team and support their team. And I can't wait for that to happen.
And you've spoken previously about your desire to develop young talent. Is that something going forward that you want to bring through here for youngsters in terms of that pathway that you've seen McGregor, Tierney and Forrest take?
Absolutely. I think it's a real important part of any football club because, again, I think I've already mentioned that when you get a player coming through your own system, it validates certain things that, you know, the club believes in something, a certain type of way of playing, a certain type of footballer. And when you see them out here, I just feel the supporters see one of their own out there, you know, somebody who probably was in the terrace at one point, now playing for their football club. And it does, it means more. So it is an important part of what I believe in should be imperative in a football club, and that is you develop your own players, and especially a club like this. So, you know, I've already had good chats with the people involved in the academy, and it's something I'm definitely going to be involved in. You know, there's some good youngsters who we hope to push through. They're currently training at the club with the first team because we're down a little bit on numbers, and so it's good for me to just have a look at them. But, you know, if there is anyone within our system that shows the talent and the potential, I'll be the first one to give them the opportunity because, as I said, I just think it gives a special feel to any football club, but as I said, particularly this one, if they see one of their own out there. And the examples you gave are fantastic examples of, you know, when it's done right, it can be special for both the player and the football club.
And Dominic, just on that, traditionally the model has been to develop players and sell them on or buy players at a lower price and sell them on in terms of development. Is that a model that will be retained here?
I think we just want to make sure we've got the right model and maybe a blend. I think the key thing is that the manager gets the support that he needs to have the right sort of team around him, and that's what we're motivated to do. But of course, an opportunity to come to Celtic is a huge attraction for a lot of players, both through the academy system, which we'll want to have a look at and redevelop, but also in terms of opportunities for players to come from overseas to put themselves on the map. So it's a blend naturally. What I'm interested in doing is making sure we've got the right support to Ange and his colleagues in the football side, that we have successful teams. That's really what I'm aiming for.
Ange, can I check the lads that were on international duty with Scotland, will they be available, do you think, for your first match against Midtjylland?
Yeah. We'll give them a bit of a break now. I think they've earned a break. It was, it was a fantastic tournament for Scotland in that, you know, it's the first major tournament they've been in for a long time, and I guess the boys in there have ridden an emotional roller coaster of some highs and you know, probably some disappointment, a little bit of disappointment in the end, so it's good for them to have a break. But from what I know of them, and I've spoken to a couple of them, they're professional and they're keen to get back. If anything, I'll probably have to just keep them away for a little bit longer just to make sure they come back, but they'll be ready to go for sure.
And can I just... one from me, sorry. If you have a message for the Celtic supporters, what would it be?
I gather that there was a little bit of a mixed response when I got announced as the Celtic manager, but what I do know is that 100% of Celtic supporters will want me to be successful because nothing's more important to them than this football club, and if I'm successful, it means this football club's successful. And I guess from my perspective, yeah, Dom's already mentioned that I just can't wait to see him back in here, and my role is to try and provide a football club that they're going to be proud of, a team they're going to look forward to watching every week, and a team that, as I said, everyone's talking about. If I can achieve those things, and obviously success follows that, then hopefully I've honoured the role that I'm in. But so far, everyone's been super supportive, and like I said, I can't wait to experience it firsthand.
Dom, I know there's been a transition period between yourself and Peter Lawwell. Some suggestions that he may stay on in some kind of consultancy role. Is there any truth in that?
So Peter will certainly finish up at the end of this month with his responsibilities at Celtic Football Club. He'll extend. We've got 2 years, I think it is, left to go on the ECA, the European Clubs Association, and that's a really important role for Scotland and for the club, to have a representative there, so he'll stay engaged with that. And what's been brilliant during the whole transition, Peter's been fantastic to me, but he's achieved so much. He's been kind enough to say that he's at the end of the phone for me. So if there's any interesting questions that I want to bounce off him, he's always going to be there for me and for the football club. So I can't wait for him to enjoy some well-earned rest. He's worked incredibly hard over the last 17 years, amassed an unbelievable cache of trophies. So the challenge for Ange and I and for the whole club is to go again and bring back that success and bring back that wonderful atmosphere at Celtic Park.
Okay. Bring me sunshine.
I hope you enjoyed that. I know it's an hour and 30 minutes of chat, and some of it's a bit replicated, but obviously you can listen to it in chunks if you want. You can decide exactly how you listen to anything. Anyway, I was impressed with Dom. I think he's very enthusiastic, as any new 40-year-old person into a new job will always be. I do find it funny online that people are expecting him to do stuff that's never going to happen. But read between the lines, modernisation and communication. We all believe the club needs modernised, and we all believe the club needs to communicate better. So he's never going to criticise the last guy, but certainly movement there. Ange, from lots of people that I've spoken to who are both at the media press conference and the fan media press conferences, there was a universal feedback that they were impressed by him. Obviously, actions speak louder than words, and we'll see what happens on the pitch. Everybody's entitled to ask what they want at fan media questions, and you know, who am I to say anything? I do think we need to move on, and each to their own, but I do think we need to move on from high, just to let you know, the world's against us mentality. But that's my personal thing on that. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it all. This is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
As the sun from up above, bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me.